Nothing But the Blood, and some others. And so we're all getting there, getting excited. That's Pastor Andres, this brother here. For those of you, obviously, who were unable to attend with us, but this is one of the first, let me come back here. This right here is one of the first, if you will, independent preachers, Baptist ministers that I met a long time ago from San Pedro. Me and Brother Quamain went up there to meet Brother Gibb for the first time, and he was a friend to me since, man. And I'm so appreciative of this friendship. And after that sermon, Brother Gip preached, Brother Quamain got stirred to get baptized. And we baptized him at Brother Taz's house as a blessing. And then we have Brother Gene right over here. So he's a good guy, man. We met him for the first time. And again, there's a persona that we see from brothers who become renowned in our day and age, right? In the modern day of visual, of on the social world, online, if you will. But man, he's just a regular dude, man. He's just a young brother too. And man, he's been a good friend. Last night, we were chopping it up and just kind of letting him know where I've been at for the past 5 years. He was encouraged. He said, "Brother, I just want to let you know, thanks for counting me as your friend." And he says, for 7 years, he had a church with just two families before he got married. And he was all by himself up there. I was like, wow, two families. That's it. 7 years. And I'm like, man, that just, again, just overflow, like what we've been, our little history, you guys know we've been through, and just a couple of families. But the Lord blessed him, you know, and he didn't give up. So he was just encouraging me last night. I'm not going to get emotional, but it was a blessing. So we have all these brothers here. Amen. Everybody getting ready to worship. And let me go ahead and get here. A lot of these brothers were from the churches and different churches, right? Just visiting and all coming together for the word. And let's see if I can get the song played in a minute. There's Sister Eileen. Hey, there she is right there holding it down. There's Katie and Keenan in the background over there. And then here it is. Let me see if I can unmute this. Give me a second here. Oh, they are singing. Let me see if I can turn it up.
Me and bob me with his redeeming blood.
Let me go ahead and just replay that. Here we go.
And Jesus,
so thousands, right,
my
people.
Savior.
Eileen's right there.
Forever.
Sister Kina, Sister Katie.
He rocked me and
there's Brother Josh.
Me with redeeming.
That was so awesome. And so this brother here, man, we're so excited. Let me tell you, this guy here, Brother Chris, he's only 29, just like me. He got saved, man, and he has such a joy, man. He just kind of bonded with me, you know. We just kept talking, and you know, orale, orale, you know, from the barrio. He got saved, man. The Lord delivered him from a great past, and he was encouraging as we both served together. Amen. And so this guy right here, this little borrachito, just a little drunk guy, right? But he was just worshiping with the Lord with us. That was cool. So anyways, guys, it was a blessing. They're all together, worshiping the Lord together. And we all ended strong. And then right after we ended, it was funny because the Padre security team came out in front and like, oh, y'all can't be doing this in front. It's cool. Y'all can sing in front of the stadium, but just not right here in front of the ticket booth. And Brother Josh was like, oh, that's okay. We just finished. So we're all going now. So it was like just perfect timing. But anyways, that's all I had. I wish I took other pictures, guys. I don't know if any of you ladies have any, but we'll show it next time. No, but anyways, it was on Harbor and 5th. That's where we were, our post station from Pastor Josh. And thousands of people just walking by. And we were just there loving on people, letting them know free comic. It was a gospel track with a smile, letting them know about the Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, you got some other guys out there, independent Christians, just trying to do it. They're a little bit more hardcore. We were a little bit more compassionate. My wife was just sharing with me that people were complimenting Sister Keenan and Katie because, again, just the delivery. You already know, guys, there's just the method of delivery. It also can affect the way that people respond. And yes, those guys are hardcore. The information they're displaying is true, but the method of their communication, it's not as charitable as it should be. And there, I mean, I don't know if y'all heard them, but they're just calling people names like crazy. It was kind of wild. But anyways, with that said, we had I think Brother Josh said there was at least 8,000 tracks or something like that handed out, and that was a blessing. So 5 people got saved. That was a blessing. So that's what we always want to rejoice with. We always want to be a partaker in the labor of God. We always want to encourage fellow brothers and sisters in Christ that are just doing something for Jesus Christ. As we're all a little part of each body on the field, this is our field right here, Oceanside, we want to be able to receive help from them, and we want to go down there and help them. And of course, most importantly, as a friend to your pastor, these men have been a friend to me, and I've just been emotional. I've been joyful, a little exhausted today. The last Sunday is tonight for their end of the revival meeting. So if anybody wants to go with us, we're going to cut out of here at 3 sharp, get down there and enjoy the last meeting. I know some of you guys are tired, so that's okay. But just know that it truly meant a lot to see some of you guys attend with us these past couple of days. It has blessed my heart and it blessed their heart. So thank you for being willing and learning and just receiving all that good fellowship. And that's what it's all about. Amen. All right. Other than that, guys, next Wednesday, Lord willing, we'll be here. Next Friday. Okay, here's what's going to go on. Pastor Josh is going on a mission trip in August to Africa. And sometimes, not sometimes, but I don't think our church has... Oh, we did it one time. We had a little in-house offering for our friend who, unfortunately, I don't know where he's been at for a minute. You guys know who he is. I try reaching out to him. I don't know what's going on, but keep that brother in prayer. But we want to raise a love offering for Brother Josh. So he is going on the 31st. That Sunday night, he's out of here. He's going to fly out to Africa with his family. So as a church family, to show our appreciation and thanks, I would like to ask us to raise a love offering next Wednesday. So what does that mean? Aside from your normal giving to the church here, it's an extra and above beyond sacrifice of just saying, Lord, we want to trust you to be a blessing to a friend who's doing something for you. So whatever's on your heart, there's no cap, there's no limit. Next Wednesday, we're just going to collect some funds. And then Friday, I will go down there and deliver it to him personally. So after I get out of work, I'm just going to take my motorcycle down there, meet him. And on behalf of our church family, we just want to say thank you. Be a blessing financially for his mission trip. And I kid you not, as we've been learning all those great sermons, the Lord, man, he's going to hook you up. He's going to bless you. He will bless you with eternal fruit because you're being a blessing to his people. And that's what we do. We take care of his people like that. So next Wednesday, please get yourself ready. Aside from your normal giving to our church, it's a little above and beyond. Next Wednesday, we'll just take up a love offering and then Friday deliver it to him. Next Saturday is going to be canceled for soul winning because we're going to have a special thing going on. We're getting ourselves ready for a special thing. Some of you guys know what that is. So next Saturday, we won't be doing our soul winning. We're going to postpone that. But this next Thursday, we will be doing our soul winning at the Sunset Market. So if you can join us, please, you already know here. We're going to meet at the church at 5:45, 6 o'clock. Get down there and just go down there for about an hour, hour and a half at the Thursday Sunset Market to go keep winning souls for Jesus. And then Friday, I know I don't have the calendar tab up here, but let me just go ahead and see if I can quickly pull it up before we get to our message for today. I don't have it up there yet, church, but the last Friday of each month, as I share with you, my heart was stirred to do a little bit more for the Lord. The last Friday of each month, we want to just go down to the Regal Theater to just pass out some tracks and evangelize. So if you can join my wife and I just for 1 hour right before Bible study, so literally 5 to 6, just come down with us, pray with us, and let's just go tell people about the Lord just right there in front of the theater, and then we'll call it a day. If you can join us, that'll be a blessing. So the next soul winning, Thursday Sunset Market, and then Friday for just 1 hour, and then we'll keep on going on. Again, study blogs. You guys are more than welcome. I invite you to read some great study blogs that we've been doing here and to just encourage you from different ministry opportunities there for learning and studying. Prayer tab, most important announcement, guys. Just keep each other in prayer. Keep your members in prayer, your family members in prayer for salvation, your life, your coworkers, your husband, and your wife. Amen. Live stream links, you guys already know. Podcasts, Facebook, YouTube. And then last but not least, guys, if you haven't already, continue to give financially, whatever you purpose in your heart between you and God to take care of your church and to be a blessing, and the Lord will take care of you. Whatever you purpose in your heart, amen, just remain faithful. All right, church, with that said, part 13, basic Bible doctrines. Let's go ahead and get back to our study. Do me a favor. Let's go ahead and turn our Bibles to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And what we're going to try to do today is finish up from last Wednesday's study, because I think it goes hand in hand with the direction that we've been taking our Sundays with, which is basic Bible doctrines. What are some things that Christians should start preparing for after they get saved? Remember, we started our series about 2 months ago talking about basic things like dress, attitude, speech, how I should prioritize my time, my giving as unto my finances. We've been talking about all that, the necessary, my need to be an evangelist, my need to be a participant within my local church, my need to be a member, a faithful member, supporting my pastor in the work of service. We've been talking about all that. And as we're kind of coming to a close, in the month of August, we're going to start another book of the Bible, verse-by-verse study, and that's going to be the book of Galatians, because the book of Romans that we just finished and Galatians, they go hand in hand as it pertains to the principle of that New Testament doctrine. So in August, we're going to continue, and we're going to return back to a book, verse-by-verse study of the Bible. We're taking the summertime, if you will, for a break of topical series. And so today is going to be part 13. We're going to finish up from last Wednesday's study. For those of you who attend our midweek Bible study, we were talking about the judgment to come. Remember, reasoning of judgment concerning Felix in Acts 24. But we kind of springboarded off that to quickly just give a reminder for Christians that we are still going to be judged by God for our works as a believer. Not salvation, but our works as a believer. When you responded to the gospel in faith, whenever you did, when you were a little child or when you were older, when somebody told you that you need to be saved by trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, or unfortunately face the penalty of your sin, which is a place called hell, because your sin offended your Creator, your sin separated you from your Creator in a relationship, and the only way that your Creator provided for you a means of reconciliation was His Son, when you responded to that in faith, you became born again. You became a child of God by faith. You were not born again by your water baptism. You were not born again by becoming a member of a church. You were not born again by your good works, your bad works, your feelings, your vibes, and all that frequency stuff. No, no, no. You became born again by faith when you just trusted Jesus. So somebody helped you to do that. Somebody said, well, how do I do that, brother? Well, I want you to pray, but mean the words within your heart. That's fine. However you do it, just know when you in your heart exercise sincere faith to Godward, like, okay, Almighty Creator, here I am. I'm gonna ask you to save me. You got saved. As soon as you got saved, the record book that we talked about last Wednesday, Brother Giovanni was right here, Felipe, the judgment books, the book of life and the book of the Word of God and the works that were preserving and recording all your secrets, all your actions, all your thoughts, all your deeds for which God will hold you accountable for, erased when you became a Christian. That Bible says in Colossians, remember, that He nailed our transgressions to the cross. He blotted out, if you will, from the remembrance of God the Father's memory, who you were before. Praise God for that. All my sins forgiven by the blood of Jesus Christ. All your sins forgiven by the blood of Jesus Christ. No more will God, if you will, accuse me of the old Carlos and neither of you and whoever you are here today, your old nature. However, there is still a book, and it's recording your works as a believer. I don't know how, but that's what the Bible teaches. And when we meet Jesus Christ face to face, and whenever in the future event that judgment seat of Christ takes place for the Christians, the Bible says that there is going to be a fire that's going to try your works. And whatever works make it through that fire, that's what's going to determine your rewards. If your works burn up, you suffer loss of rewards. Not salvation, because you're there, but for your inheritance. So let's pray. Father, I thank you for the Word of God today. Please help me to communicate these truths to our flock here today, Lord. I am exhausted. I'm tired. I need your power. I need your help to cover me once again by the precious promise of your Holy Spirit in me. Lord, if there's anything which I've committed as an offense against you today, Lord, once again, would you please forgive me of any sin or sins? And I ask and pray, God, that you'd remember the blood, Father. And Lord, as you are interceding at the right hand of the Father, I pray that you would intercede on behalf of all the members that are here right now, and those who are no longer here, those who aren't on their way, or perhaps those who couldn't make it today. Please continue to help us as your children, for those that are close and those that are wondering, to serve you, to be convicted, to do what we need to do for you, to prepare ourselves for an eternal mindset of this judgment seat to come. Lord, as we pray to you within our hearts all the time, we're going to stand before you one day. Please help us to be ready for that. Teach us now. Remove me out of your way. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Let's go there. I'm sorry, 3. Let's go down here to verse number 9. Oh, you know what? Let's go to verse number 8. Okay. Here we have the Apostle Paul just reminding the church there at Corinth concerning how they got saved. Somebody went over there and told them about Jesus. That was Paul. And then after they responded to his labor of preaching and being an evangelist, being a missionary, another brother came along and helped others get saved. Another brother helped come along and helped them to teach them now
This is what Christianity is, Christian doctrines. Here's what he says in verse number 8. Now, let's just read verse 7. So then, neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Don't forget that. Don't boast about, look at what I did. No. Look at what God did through me. That's one thing I always appreciated about Brother Manny, was he would say, and the Lord through me did this. That was a blessing. And I have to remind myself, he's right. The Lord in me did this for himself. That's a blessing. Because sometimes, again, it's only natural within us to venerate a man, to lift up a man. Oh, look at that man of God. You know what Paul said? I ain't nothing. Apollos, he ain't nothing. But God, man, he's everything. So give glory to God when you learn more about him, when you learn more about the Bible. Give glory to God. Now, he that planteth and he that watereth are one. We're all on the same team. We're all on the side of Christ. We're all ministers. We're all brothers. We're all a part of the body. We're all one. But every man shall receive his own reward according to his own what? Labor. Keep that in the back of your mind, church, because we're going to talk about that in a little bit. Some of you who have been at this revival meeting, man, we've been getting a lot of that. Don't just do it, Brother Gene said. Hey, man, brother. It's like, hey, bro, how should I do it? Just do it. All right, gotcha. I'm going to go now. You know, it's like, oh, man, that was good. He says here, for we are laborers together with God. So, yes, you're a part of a local church. Yes, you got a pastor. Yes, you got some brothers that were attempting to disciple to assist the pastor for teaching. And yes, but you know what your Bible just said? You're working with God. You should be working with God. You should be working for God. And yet, even though it's God accomplishing it through you, you know what he said? He's going to bless you with a reward. Isn't that awesome? Wow. He says that ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building, according to the grace of God which is given unto me. As a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. My wife and I, we're reading our devotion. We're going to go back to that in a little bit earlier. Remember that, Katie? But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. Now that's what we need to take heed to. So in other words, they got the gospel down there. We got the gospel right here. We have the Bible. They have the Bible. We're all desiring to see somebody just trust Christ right here in Oceanside knocking on these doors. But how we do it, that's how we're going to be judged. So then what does that tell me? It's not the substance, which is the gospel. It's the method of how I presented the gospel. It's the intention within my heart on how I build it. In other words, the foundation is simple. Brother Giovanni just got to go down there and say, hey, would you like to trust Christ? That's the foundation. But how he did it? Now that's the question. How I did it? Other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. So far, what did we just learn again? There is a time when God is going to judge every man's work for how he what? Labored on what? The foundation. Some of your labors today are likened to gold, silver, and precious stones. What does that mean? Those are materials that will not fade in a fire. Those are elements that will not burn away. Some of you, however, will build on that foundation. Wood, hay, stubble, they will burn away. Those elements are consumable by a fire. You understand the picture. That's how God is making it simple. How? Let's go. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon. So what is that? The gospel. It's already been laid 2,000 years ago. He already planted that thing. I'm going to show you right now. The Bible says Jesus is the sower of the good seed. He is the sower of the word of God. You know what he said? The field is the world. So who started to build the church? Matthew 16 from Friday night. Who remembers? He said, upon this rock, I will what? Build my church. So who's the builder ultimately? It's Jesus. But what are you? You are a laborer. You're a fellow laborer. You are God's husbandry. So in this field, which is the world, can you believe that you've been hired by the creator of the universe to assist him in doing something for him, and he's going to pay you for it? Whoa! But not only will he pay you and reward you, he's going to judge you for it. Oh, judge me for what? How I built thereupon. That's the intent. Look at verse 15. If any man's work shall be burned. So what does that tell me, brother? Some of my work will probably burn. Some of your work will probably burn. He shall suffer loss of what? Verse 14, a reward. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Let's go to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians 3. What are we discussing? There is a judgment to come. Not just for the unbeliever who's going to be judged for their sin and their sins, their works, their deeds, their secrets, all that. That's what we're warning them. But there's going to be a judgment for us Christians for how we built upon what we were given, how we labored upon that which we were given. And I'm going to tell you before we close tonight, today, it's not just about you trying to be an evangelist. It's not just you trying to be a missionary. And it's not just your money you give so we can pay the rent and help missionaries around the earth. It's about how you treat your wife. It's about how you treat your husband. It's about you kids learning how to be obedient children. I kid you not, but I'm going to show you right now. It's about character as well. Let's go down to Colossians chapter 3, verse number 23. Bible says here, whatsoever ye do. So does that mean like everything? That's what it means. Whatsoever, anything you do, do it heartily. As to the Lord, not unto men. I am not your source of motivation on why you should continue to come to church. I'm not your source of motivation of why you should give. I'm not your source of motivation of why you should be praying every day, why you should be reading your Bible every day, why you should do what you need to do as a Christian. Your Savior is. But the minute that you take your heart and your eyes and your focus off of the master, the head, the savior, no wonder why you want to quit on his people and on his church, because you're doing it heartily as unto men, and men will fail you. Men will discourage you. Men will not meet your needs. Men are varied. Men are fallible. We have emotions. I will hurt your feelings at some point, and you will hurt mine. But if I do it heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men, I will not stop. You won't stop me, and I won't stop you. We'll keep doing it together. And as our minds are setting our affection on things above, and since we know that the Bible says we're still sinners, and obviously we're still going to have problems, we're not going to quit on each other in our service for the Lord. But why am I motivated? Not just because I should be doing it for him, but because I know that he's going to judge me on how I built for him. Look at verse 24. Knowing that of the church you shall receive the reward. Is that what it says? Let me try that again. Knowing that of the pastor you shall receive approval. Is that what it says? Okay. Knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. So we've already talked about it. I already showed you. I taught you. Who is the head of the church? Jesus Christ. I'm a steward. I'm just the pastor. I am overseeing the members. You belong to him. I have a duty to help you to be faithful, to help you to go out there with me, to be an example, and I'm doing it. But ultimately, God told you, you better remind yourself who's going to reward you. That's him. But not just for the reward. But let's go to verse 25. He that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done. There is no respect of persons. Don't worry about the other person. Worry about yourself. Because it's only going to be you and Jesus Christ on that day of judgment. He is going to reward you for you. He's not going to reward you for the other person. He's not going to talk to you about the other person's mishaps, the other person's faults, the other person's sins. He is going to talk to you about what you knew to be true, what you know you should have been doing, why you should have stuck it out, why you should not have quit, why you should not have excused yourself from occupying. This is the blueprint now. So yes, I know that I am going to receive a reward of the inheritance. 1 Corinthians 3, the judgment seat of Christ. There's a fire that's going to try Brother Carlos's work since he got saved. A lot of it is going to burn. I'm just telling y'all right now why. Because I'm a messed up, wretched man. I know the seasons of life when I was a hypocrite. I know the seasons of life when I was being a carnal Christian. And I'm looking forward to it. I talk to God. I say, Lord Jesus, I know and I'm looking forward to all that burning up. Burn it up, Lord. Why? Because it was in vain. I was being stupid. I was being silly. I was being a hypocrite. You know who you are too. All that time of making excuses, not really committing, not being 100%, just kind of half in, half hearted, being a lukewarm Christian. No. So, Lord, here I am now. From this moment moving forward, I hope there's a little something. You know what I'm saying? After that moment of when I got right with the Lord and woo, hopefully it lasts. But here's what I'm trying to say. It's for the inheritance. It's an inheritance. I'm going to receive it from the Lord Christ. You see that word Lord? Some of you guys remember English folklore. Some of you guys are teachers. You understand what that means. Lord such and such back in England and how they would, they would identify an individual and hence that is their designated authority. Lord such and such, Lord such and such. You know what your Bible says? You are serving the Master Christ. You're serving the Lord Christ. So that should also remind you of the humility that you should have as a servant. Man, I'm serving the Lord Christ. I'm not here to do it for my pastor, but I love him. I'm not here to do it for the pleasure and the satisfaction of my members, even though I love them. Man, I'm doing it for the Lord Christ. I'm coming to church on time for the Lord Christ. I'm going to go sow with my pastor for the Lord Christ. I'm going to give my finances because of the Lord Christ. I'm going to be faithful to my husband, faithful to my wife, children, obedient to my parents, because I'm doing it for the Lord Christ, because I know he's going to judge me. But I also know that he doesn't respect persons. I also know that he is not going to favor me. He's not going to favor you. He's going to treat all of us the same. That's why I'm telling you, take your eyes off of men, put them back on the man upstairs. Now I can say that safely. He's the one that's going to judge you. For what? Reward of inheritance. 2 John 1, 2 John chapter 1, we're on our Bible train, y'all, and thank God, I think I fixed our online technical difficulties. Praise the Lord Jesus Christ for that. 2 John 1, let's go there. Let's go to verse number 8. 2 John 1, verse number 8, the Bible says here, look to yourselves, that we lose not those things which we have wrought, that's the labor, but that we receive a full reward. You never know, church, how much your labor will endure until the rapture. You say, what do you mean by that? Paul is still getting fruit. Peter is still getting fruit. The apostles and the New Testament prophets from the book of Acts, they're still getting a fruit. Why? Because we are the fruit of their labor. When you got saved and you helped another Christian do something more for God, you helped somebody come to Christ, you have fruit. And then in that life of that person, you're going to be able to reap of their fruit because it started with you. But you know what you need to do, friend, to not lose heart? You need to look to yourself that you don't lose those things that you labored for. One of the things that Jesus reminded the church in the book of Revelation, I forgot which church it is, you guys can read it on your own time, is that they left their first love. Isn't that sad? They're saved, they were sanctified, they put their faith, but they just lost love for him. You know what you need to do? Look to yourself. Don't lose that love that you had for Jesus at the first. That's why you need to continue to work on you. God gave you all the power and the ability. When it comes to the feeling and aspects, keep that under control. You have a reward, and you have potential more rewards to gain, but you have to keep laboring. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter number 6. 1 Corinthians 6. And then we'll go to Ephesians chapter. Well, after we'll go to 1 Corinthians 6, then we're going to go to the book of Matthew 24. Because then I'm going to just quickly show you before we close, what is the principle of how the Lord is going to judge me? What is he looking for? He already told me in 1 Corinthians 3 how I labor, how I build upon it. He already told me in 1 Corinthians 3 the sort of it. I already have the foundation, that's the gospel. I already know who started the thing, that's Jesus Christ. I already know who built upon it, that's the apostles, and that's how we got here, because Christians have been teaching and preaching for the past 2,000 years, and people are still beginning saved, and here we are today in Oceanside. Somebody told you. So this thing is going, it's going. Let's go into 1 Corinthians 6. And come down here with me to verse number 9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. Aren't you glad for that? So when you got saved, when Brother Carlos got saved, you know who I was? I was a fornicator. I was a drunkard. I was a covetous man. Some of you today, you were an adulterer. Some of you today, you were an idolater. Some of you here today, you guys were just self-righteous. You didn't think you needed to be saved. You trusted in science. You thought the aliens and all that stuff. I'm just telling you guys, you believed in evolution, blah, 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 whatever. Some of you were thieves. Some of you were proud. But when you got saved, now here's something supernatural. You became a new creature. He created within you a new heart. And from the vantage point of God the Father, looking at you through God the Son and his righteousness, his goodness, you're not that anymore. You're no longer that adulterer, so forgive yourself. You're no longer that thief, so move on. You're no longer that fornicator. Forgive yourself. Move on. But you're washed. But you're sanctified, but you're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of God. So positionally right now, my old nature, Brother Carlos, the old man, God doesn't look at that anymore. He sees that I'm a sanctified sinner by the blood of Jesus. Some of you here today, he doesn't see the old Maribel. He doesn't see the old Giovanni. He sees Jesus' blood. He sees Jesus' goodness. You used to be. He no longer sees that. But does that mean that you're not going to make the same mistakes after the fact? No. You still will. But positionally, this is how he views you. So then now, as I learn that, it should make me to be ashamed of wanting to continue to do that against the God who loves me, the God who no longer looks to me like that. It should make me not want to do those things anymore. Amen. But concerning the inheritance, look at that. The unbeliever, your family, your friend, your coworker who will not trust Jesus Christ, they will not go to heaven. They will go to hell. But for the Christian who continues to practice sin, you will lose reward of the inheritance because of your choices. Let's go to Matthew 24. Let's study now the principle of how this is going to go down. Matthew 24, before we close, what is he expecting of his servants? Is it just all about me laboring? Is it all just about me trying to be a missionary, trying to be a witness? Is it all about me just trying to give my money so that way I can help pay for the pastor, pay for the rent, and help some missionaries? Is that good enough? Is that what he's really looking for? Or, as I mentioned earlier, could it also just be about how I treat my wife, how I treat my husband, how kids treat their parents, how you're an employee in the workplace? Could it also include all those things? And I will show you before we close today, yes. It's not just the laboring for the work of ministry. It's also how you are in that ministering. Matthew 24, go down with me to verse 45. What we're talking about here is we're going to use these principles. As the Lord is talking about the kingdom of heaven, we've been talking about that Friday. You already know about that. But we're going to just look at how the Lord Jesus Christ judges. We're going to look at the Lord Jesus Christ as the Lord Christ, that is, he is the boss. And if I work for him, let me just see the type of boss that he will be and what he expects of his workers. 45. Matthew 24, 45. Who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household to give them meat in due season? So before we close, or before we continue, let me just point out a few things. There are multiple servants underneath this Lord. He has hired them. They're not all the same kind of workers, though. He knows that he has a worker who's lazy, and he knows that he has a worker that is pretty energetic, solid, and he can be counted on. He knows that there are faithful servants, he knows that there are wise servants, and he knows that there are lazy servants. But what is he looking to do within the both and all those type of servants? Who is he looking to make ruler over his household? So what is that? That's a future inheritance. If I prove myself and if I work enough and I work hard enough, wow, he'll promote me. You guys understand that? Now look here, verse 46. Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Doing what? Let's continue to read. Verily I say unto you that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. But if that evil servant shall say in his heart, so notice there's a lot of workers working. You understand that? He knows who that fool is over there. My Lord delayed his coming, so that's what you're going to say. Well, it's not a big deal if I don't really do this for Jesus. It's not like he's really going to come back today. So you know what? Not going to church, it's all right. Not really going soul winning, it's all right. It's not like the rapture is not really going to happen. You understand? You're telling yourself in your heart, you know, Jesus, he may not do what he said he's going to do, like right now at this time. It's only 5 o'clock, you know. I'm cooking dinner over here. I got my thing going on. Shall begin to smite his fellow servants and eat and drink with the drunken. The Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour that he is not aware of, and shall cut him asunder. Point him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now, that's not going to happen for the Christian, but what's the principle? He's looking at the way that his servants are laboring. He knows that the brother over here, he's being wise. He's being faithful. Why? Because he's working. He knows the other servant over there, she or he is not being wise. They're being evil because they're wasting their time. They're not doing nothing. Let's go here to Matthew 25. Maybe this will paint it a little bit more better for our understanding. Just go to one chapter to the right in your Bible with me. Let's go to verse 14. So far, what are we learning? Jesus has standards, amen. Jesus has expectations, amen. And as I'm learning now how this King Jesus and how this Lord is going to judge me as a servant, I should start aligning myself in a manner that will be accepted of him and approved of him on that day of judgment rather than excusing, because I tell myself, man, he ain't coming back today, but that's all right. Let's go have some fun. I'm just going to enjoy this social time because, you know, it's not like the rapture is going to happen. Again, you're telling yourself now. All right. Let's look at the principle. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. Unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. So what do we have so far? Here is a man. He's leaving. When he leaves, he hires some people to do something for him. And as those people are staying back to do something for him, he gave these people some goods. Are you with me? And those servants that he hired to stay back, he gave them enough to do because he knew they had the ability to do it. Look, according to his several ability. Now, keep following along. We're 16. He that received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them other 5 talents. And likewise, he that had received 2, he also gained another 2. And he that received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. Now you know what the talent is. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. So he comes back from his far journey. Okay, brother, 5 talents. Come on up. How'd it go, man? Did you put my money in the... You made some money off that? Yes, Lord. I got you 5 more talents, Lord. Here's how I did it. Let me tell you my routine. I worked from here to here. I put these hours in. I put these labors in. I got you 5 more, my Lord. Here it is. Wow. Good job, brother, 5 talents. Brother, 2 talents. How you doing over there? How did it go? Man, Lord, it was a little difficult, but I was able to get even 2 more talents, Lord. Here's the work that I did. Here's how I did it. My Lord, here you go. Here's 2 more for you. Brother, 1 talent. How's it going over there? He's a little afraid. He doesn't really want to talk to the boss. Why? Because he didn't do his job. He's a little shameful. This is gonna matter in a little bit. Stay with me. And so, he that had received the 5 talents came and brought other 5, saying, Lord, thou deliveredst unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. Who did it? The guy did. You see there? The Lord gave him the talents, but he put in the labor. Are you getting it? Are you now? Are anybody here getting it? His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. You're going to get raptured one day, or you die, your soul goes to heaven, and then the rapture happens. You're going to be reunited with your body. You're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. He is going to judge you, and he is going to reward you about what he gave you, the abilities he gave you, the talents he gave you, the money he gave you, the family he gave you, everything he gave you to do something for him to bring him more glory and honor. When you proved yourself faithful to do what he gave you to do, that's what's going to help you to get that reward, being a faithful servant. But that's brother 5 talents. We got 2 other brothers to consider, 2 other, if you will, applications for Christians that we can gain here today to tell us and to teach us this is what we should strive to be after, and this is who we should avoid. He also that received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, well done. So see, you don't have to have as much as the other brother. All you have to do is be faithful with what you got. Don't measure and compare yourself with other Christians who have way more. No. It's the same Lord. He gave that brother a little bit more because he know what he wants to accomplish to that guy over there. He gave you what he gave you because he knows what he can accomplish to you right here. Are you being faithful over the few? But here comes brother 1 talent. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art an hard man. Brother 1 talent is complaining against the Lord. Reaping where thou hast not sown. Brother 1 talent sure has some complaining going on. And gathering where thou hast not strawed. Wow, brother hard talent, man. Brother 1 talent, you got some complaints. And he was afraid. And went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. Did he have an excuse, really, though, in the end of the day? He knew what he got into when he started working for this guy. He read the application. When this guy hired him, he checked the boxes. He understood, son, this is your job. You're here to work from here to here. The other 2 guys, they all agreed, that's the job, I'm going to do it. But this guy excused himself. You know what he said in his heart? My Lord delayed this coming. It's okay if I just come back over here, not really do much, because you know what? In the end of the day, man, that boss, he's not really doing it anyways. I mean, it's really me that's doing all the work. Why should I even do this for him? It started getting to his head. His Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant. Remember when we talked about the sloth back in the day, y'all? There's a lion in the street. I can't go to work. Oh, look at this. Thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest, therefore, to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received my money with usury. Man, you could have just given it to those guys, and you didn't have to do nothing, and they would have made my money for me. Take the talent from him and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. Unto everyone that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. Judgment seat of Christ. There's a fire. It's going to try every man's work of what sort it is. How you labored upon the foundation. Some of you will gain a reward because you labored faithfully. That's the good servant. Some of you wasted time. Some of you will waste time. Some of you will excuse yourself in your heart and say, man, my Lord delayed this coming. Wow, look at all this work I'm doing. And he's up there. But when he comes, he gets you. He judges you. He's going to remove your reward. He's going to reward this brother with a lot more because it's all his in the end of the day. You can also read this in Luke 16, 10 through 12, Luke 19, 25 through 27. But before we close, let's talk about some things that hinder our willingness to produce fruit for our master. Why do we excuse ourselves? Why do we deceive ourselves? Why do we tell ourselves, I don't have to really go to church all the time. I don't really have to give. I don't really have to go evangelize. I don't really have to fill in the blank. I'll tell you why. I'll tell you what he said about it. How about that? So you don't get mad at me, okay? Let's go to Luke chapter 8. I'm just the delivery boy, that's all. I'm just delivering the mail, brother. That's all I'm doing. Luke chapter 8. Verse 11. Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear. Then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. So yes, those are those people that don't, they receive the tract from you, but they don't really want to go all the way through. All right. They in the rock are they which, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. So they receive it. They accept it. They come to church with you for a little bit, but because they ain't got no root, they're not really growing. They're not really growing deeper in their relationship with the word. When something happens in their life, they leave. Verse 14. That which fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth. So now they're doing the duty that the word told them to do. They're out there. They're doing something and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to perfection. That's what's holding you back. That's what used to hold me back. When I was caring too much about my life, when I was more intent to be rich, my life on this earth, when I wanted more pleasures for my life, I didn't want to do much for him. I didn't want to labor for him. I didn't really want to give my money for him. I didn't really want to go forth and that's why I didn't bear no fruit. And the fruit that I did start, brothers, look at, it didn't blossom to its purpose. It didn't really gain all that it should have. Christian, those are the things that are going to choke the labor, the fruit in your life. When you allow the cares and riches and pleasures of this life become more important than his life, that's when you're going to be fruitless. That's when you're going to start something and then you're going to give up and not let the thing have its full course. That's what it is. John 4. We're almost done. John chapter 4. Let's talk about this fruit. This fruit is supposed to last. This fruit, God wants it to endure. When he gave you them talents, brother, when he gave you them talents, sister, when he gave you that work schedule, when he gave you peace within the marriage, peace within your family, peace so that way you could do something. He's working it out. He wants you to bring the fruit to perfection. But if you start and then a care comes along and then all of a sudden something happens within my life and all of a sudden you're convincing yourself, oh, I got to do this. This is a little bit more important. I can't do that right now. No wonder. No wonder you ain't going to bring that fruit to perfection. And the enemy knows that. So that's why he keeps bringing it back into your life. Look at here with me, John 4. He talked to a woman at the well. Remember Jesus? He talked to the Samaritan woman. And after he did an amazing thing within her life by proving to her that he knew the deep pain in her heart about everything going on, it convicted her. She went back to go tell everybody in Samaria. They came back. The disciples went away and they came back and they're like, Lord, we got some food. But what do you mean you got food? Look what he says here in verse 34. Jesus said unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. That's my food. Say not ye, now he's talking to the disciples, there are yet 4 months and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes, look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. He that reapeth receiveth wages, and gathereth fruit unto what church? Life eternal. That both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. You know what Paul said? One soweth, another watereth, one reap, but it's God that causes the increase. Both will receive wages of reward, and that is fruit eternal. Jesus said in Matthew 13:38 that the field is the world. That is the people on the earth. Jesus said in Matthew 13 that the good seed is sown by the Son of Man. And then I just showed you in Luke chapter 8, verse 11, the seed is the Word of God. So what does he expect now of his servants? We have the foundation. We got the seed. We have that thing that can change people's lives. But some of you have been given more responsibility and ability to do something for him. If you're not going to prove him faithful in those areas on that judgment seat of Christ, all of that is going to be removed. No reward. You'll make it. You'll be a part of that eternal life to come. You're going to be rejoicing. It's all good. You're going to be living together with him in eternity, but you're not going to be ruling and reigning. I don't know what those other options there might be. I don't know if I'm just going to be a spectator walking around. I don't know if he'll just give me a broom and that's it. I'm just going to be brooming right here on this sidewalk. I don't know what that's going to be like. All I'm here to tell you is he is going to reward the wages of his servants. He gave you 5 talents. He gave you 2. He gave you 1. He wants to be faithful with that for the labor. Lastly, let's go to Colossians 3 before we close. We're almost done. Colossians 3, and then I'll go to Galatians 5. As I come to a close, we know now that I should be doing something more for God. I know that. We know now that I should be giving a little bit more of my money, a little bit more of my time, a little bit more of my efforts, a little bit more of my labors with the field that I got here in Oceanside. I know I should be doing more for my church, for my God, but is it all just about the labor? Is it all just about the service that I'm going to be rewarded for? Or, like I said, before we close, I'm going to show you now, is it about the how? Is it about my heart and how I looked more like Christ while I did those things? Will I still be judged for how I treated my wife, my husband, my children, and the children unto the parents, and et cetera, et cetera? Yes. Look at here in Colossians 3. The Bible says in verse 12, put on, therefore, as the elect of God, this is a reference to Jesus Christ, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness. So some of you know who you are today, right? When I start to not treat others kindly, I am not looking like Jesus. When I have a problem with somebody in my heart, I am not looking like Jesus. I'm not acting like him. I sure am not talking like him. Your Savior said, but like him, yeah, that's what you need to put on. Put on some of that holiness like him. Put on some of that mercy like him. Put on some of that kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, patience, forbearing one another, forgiving one another, even I'm sorry. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, the Holy Spirit says, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. I'm at the judgment seat of Christ. My works are being tried. That's what he said. And as work one goes through the fire, work two goes through the fire, all the way to whatever last work I'm going to do before I die. Remember how he said of what sort it is? Remember how he said how you built? Did I look like the elect of God? Did I look like Jesus? Was I kind when I was doing that? Was I humble when I was loving my wife? Was I meek when I was soul winning? Was I long-suffering? Was I merciful when I was giving my money? Was I, what else do we see here? Forbearing? Was I forgiving to my fellow members? Did I just want to quit on Christians because they just hurt my feelings? Now you need to start thinking about that. As you continue to work and as you continue to labor, it's not just the physical labor. It's not just you going out there and telling people about Christ and giving a tract. No, it's about your heart looking like him as much as you can every single moment of the day when you can, when you wake up. I need to look like him. Lastly, Galatians 5, we're coming to a close. Remember the fruit of the Spirit? Anybody? Fruit of the Spirit? Anybody know what some of those fruit of the Spirit are? Anybody? Love? Anybody else? Joy? Huh? Patience? Sound mind? That was Colossians 3 right there. It was humbleness of mind, but okay. Let's go over here before we close, and then watch. It's going to click if it hasn't already. Okay? Galatians 5. You guys love this. You guys hear it all the time. We know what the flesh is. We know we got the problems. We're not here to talk about that. Let's go down here for the fruit of the Spirit, because now I want more of that. I have enough of joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, self-control. Against such there is no law. So he just told you in verse 21, the Christians who are going to continue to live after the flesh and doing all those things, what are they not going to do? They're not going to inherit reward because they're not wanting to be like their Savior, the Lord Christ. But what about the fruit? What about the Christians who are? They will. So that's what I'm trying to tell you. It's not just the act. It's not just the labor, brother, to just come and to give and to do. No, no. It's the heart in the act. It is the how in the act. It is the what do I look like while I'm doing what I'm doing for my Savior. So as we come to a close and we think about fruit, yes, I want to be a fruitful Christian. I want to bear fruit for my Savior because he hired me. I understand my job. I understand the job duty. I understand the description. I know that I have a responsibility. I know that I have a role. I have a duty as a husband, as a wife, children. All of you guys know what your role now. I've been teaching you that. But now in the end of the day, when we think about the judgment seat of Christ and all our works are tried through the fire of the how and the what sort it is, what is going to be held accountable? Ultimately, did I look like him, though? Was I kind like him? Was I humble? Was I merciful? Was I peaceful? Was I forbearing? Was I forgiving? Was I joyful? Was I gentle? Was I, was I expressing faith? And where was I being, was I living a good life? In the acts and in the giving and in the soul winning and the labors. If not, I can't expect to receive a reward. He already told me that. And so, church, as we come to a close and we think about this, as we leave these doors, just pray to God in your heart. Examine yourself. Judge within yourself. How much have I been looking like him, serving him? Was I looking too much like me? Was I being that unprofitable servant to deceiving myself with my feelings and my flesh? Or was I being the wise servant by saying, Lord, you gave me this. I did it like you wanted. I gained it like you expected. And here you are, Lord. Here's some more fruit for you. I want you to think about that now as we come to a close. We don't have no altars. You guys know our church friends do. But there's a seat. There's an altar in your heart. And as we come to a close and prayer, I just want you to pray along with me now. If whoever you are here today, if you know deep down, man, I have not been looking like the elect of God. I have not really been patient like him. I have not really been kind like him. I have not really been dedicated like him. I have not really been joyful like him. I have not really been, I want to. If that's you here today, then why don't you pray with me? Let's talk to the same Savior. Let's talk to that loving shepherd. Let's talk to the same Lord who will judge us one day to ask him to help us to be more like him. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne of grace. We thank you for Jesus Christ, your Son. Father, today, some of us, as we respond to the preaching here today, God, we know that we still lack looking like your Son, Jesus Christ. Because when we woke up this morning, that old man felt a little bit better than the new man. That old man with the lust and the flesh and the selfishness, God, that felt a little bit better than the new man of peace and joy and having kindness and humility. But we came to church anyways, God, because we know we still need to be here. We know we still need to hear from you. We need to be accountable. We need to hear the word and all that. We're still here, Lord. So we're striving, Lord, to be better servants for you. We're striving, Lord, to be better doers for you. We're striving, Lord, to gain for you more fruit for what you gave us, God. But we need help to be more like you, to put you on, Jesus, daily, to be more kind and compassionate and patient and willing to obey the Father like you did, Lord. So God, some of us know our calling. Some of us know that we ought to be doing more things. Some of us know we have a burden to continue to win souls here in Oceanside and a burden to help our church members and a burden to continue, God, but we're still struggling just looking like you doing it. We're still struggling with the heart doing it in here. So Father, today I pray that you hear our prayers. Some of us, our members are praying to you now, Lord Jesus. Would you hear? Would you respond? And as the Holy Spirit continues to help us and convict us and guide us to look more like Jesus, help us to do it with a whole heart, knowing one day you're going to judge us for the good and the bad. And so you should be our motivation to continue to do the good as much as we can. So Lord, thank you for this church service. Thank you for all my friends that came here today. We pray for those who were unable to attend, but hopefully they're going to watch later on today. Help us to get back to our homes safely, Lord, and would you preserve us so we can continue to labor for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Church, I love you. We got to get going because we're going to El Cajon, but may the Lord bless you. Oh, real quick, Giovanni, real quick. Let's just pray for Sister Dina. She's going to go down with her boss next week for a thing in Tijuana. So let's just pray for her as a church family and that she'll have a safe trip and that God will watch over it. Do you mind just praying for that trip, brother, for her upcoming thing going on? Amen. Thank you. Thank you, brother. Amen. Sister Dina, we'll keep in prayer for your trip next week.